You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Good morning. Welcome to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio 950 AM. I'm Father Greg Sackowitz, pastor of St. Mary Parish in Evanston, and co-hosting this morning, Wayne Magyars, vice president and chief of staff, Loyola University.
And our audience this morning should know that we are not in costume.
I had a.
Although you did have a,
my clown.
Your clown wig on.
Wig on earlier.
Walking through the hall and
telling people not to clown around.
Right, exactly.
Right. A very happy Halloween.
Yes, happy Halloween, everybody.
And All Hallows Eve. Hallows Eve. For tomorrow, we celebrate the Holy Day of Obligation, All Saints Day, and Wednesday, All Souls Day. And it's interesting, right, Wayne, people put a lot of emphasis on All Saints Day, which we should. But I always tell people, don't underestimate All Souls Day.
Right.
To remember all loved ones who have gone home to God, many, many who were very saintly during their life, but not recognized officially from the church. So on this Monday, October 31st, for all the children, safe trick-or-treating. Safe. It's supposed to be a fun day.
And when's the last time you went trick-or-treating?
Last year.
No.
But isn't it funny? I do remember this. When I was 5 years old in kindergarten, I remember my first outfit. I dressed up as Mr. Magoo.
Really?
Mr. Magoo. And it's the only one I remember. Football player.
And I was, Sister John, you'll like the story. I was traumatized when I was about 7 because I was always tall for my age. And I went up with a few friends to one of the neighbors and rang the doorbell. And this woman answered the door and she gave candy to all the friends in front of me. And then she looked at me and she looked up and she said, "And you at your age should be ashamed of yourself."
That was it.
And you were 7 years old.
7 years old.
Wow. Well, welcome to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio 950. The time is 9:02, and I can see, Wayne, you've never recovered from that.
Never.
And our phone number, 312-255-8408. And today our topic is interreligious relations, the celebrations of the 25th anniversary of Pope John Paul II's Assisi 1987 interreligious prayer for peace in Assisi, Italy. Also, Assisi 2011 and Pope Benedict XVI's Day of Reflection, Dialogue, and Prayer for Peace and Justice in the World, Pilgrims of Truth, Pilgrims of Peace. Our guest in studio, Sister Joan McGuire, backed by popular demand, a Dominican Sister of Peace and Director of Ecumenical and Interreligious Affairs for the Archdiocese of Chicago. Sister Joan McGuire, welcome to Catholic Community of Faith.
Thank you very, very much, and I'm very happy to speak on this topic. The event last week when this Assisi meeting was held, I think was just a wonderful, wonderful event.
Tell us about, let's go back to 1987, and just for our listeners this morning, refresh their memory on what happened and how John Paul II really kicked this off.
Well, Pope John Paul II called together the religious leaders throughout the world, invited them to come to pray for peace at that time, and they responded enthusiastically, and a prayer was established. Since then, we have this sort of way of bringing interreligious people together to pray for whatever the occasion calls for, and it's taken on the name the Assisi way of praying. And if you go to our website, go to the Archdiocese of Chicago and then Ecumenical and Interreligious Department, we have something about this event of that just took place last week. But we also have two links. And one link is to Nostra Aetate. That's the Vatican II document,
right,
that tells that the Church, Catholic Church, recognizes in all these religions that a spark of truth, a relation, and that we are to promote a relationship with them. So that Nostra Aetate is very important. That's what our Church bases our in. interreligious relations on. And then getting back to your question, the Assisi prayer is the one that Pope John Paul II used, in which the religious communities come together, but they pray in their own way in different places.
Yeah. And, we also want to get here on the phone. We have Asayo Haribo, President, the Buddhist Council of the Midwest, and lay minister in the American Buddhist tradition. Asayo, welcome to Catholic Community of Faith. Good morning.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, thank you for being with us here. And what's been your whole role in this whole event that's been going on?
I beg your pardon?
What?
I think, COA, we were wondering if you could, throughout the conversation, be able to comment on this event that we've just had with the Pope Benedict calling the religious leaders together, and your relationship in terms of interreligious relationships here in Chicago, and particularly the Buddhist element of the search for peace and contemplation.
Well, all the religious traditions have contemplation, and we work on peace. We do have interfaith dialogues during the year. We have a prayer for peace at the Theosophical Society, and we had periodically we would have Catholic-Buddhist dialogue and Muslim-Buddhist dialogue, because one of the things that many of the traditions do is they don't step outside. And when the Pope called for interreligious dialogue, it kind of promoted the feeling that everyone needs to get outside and learn more about their own tradition as well as other traditions, to see that the goal is for us to work together to learn about our practices that promote the compassion, forgiveness, and understanding that we need to have every day.
Sister Joan, we have been about, if you will, the work of interreligious dialogue now for decades. Not only Catholic initiatives, but initiatives in other religious traditions as well. How are we doing? I mean, if you had to, and I'm going to ask Asayo the same question. If you had to gauge and look back, you know, 5-10 years, and how religions are beginning to not only dialogue with one another, but really truly understand their faith traditions, understand their the cultures from which they came, are we making good progress toward a mutual understanding and respect across the world's religions?
I would say yes. I think there's a growth. My experience, probably talking out of Chicago experience, when I came in 87, for instance, the Council of Religious Leaders of Metropolitan Chicago was established with Christian and Jewish leadership. A few years ago, the Muslim community joined that group, and just within the last year or two, four of the Eastern religions, Zoroastrians, Baha'i, the Jain, and the Sikhs joined. So I think if you measure it in terms of relationships, those have broadened, and I think because the relationships have broadened, there's a deepening of respect for each other, and over those periods of time, people have had experiences to see how the other worship. Very often, perhaps when we've had something at the cathedral, there will sometimes be ecumenical and interreligious guests. So these are hard to measure, maybe.
Sure. Yeah,
it's more about prayer and
relationships. I think, Sister Joan, you've hit on it. It's very hard to measure. It's something you really just can't grasp. You have to experience, but there's not really a tool to measure. We're going to go to a break here on Catholic Community Faith and Relevant Radio 950. I'm Father Greg Sackwitz, along with Wayne Majars. And our guests so far have been Sister Joan McGuire and Asayo Haribo. Our number, 312-255-8408. We'll be back right after a break.
Each night, thousands of families face homelessness in Chicago. Those families aren't just statistics. They're your neighbors, your friends. They could even be part of your own family.
I had lost my job, so I wasn't working, and I had run out of all my savings, so I ended up losing my apartment. And I went to stay with my sister, but she's got this small little itty-bitty condo, so we were all sleeping on the floor. So I started calling around for the housings and everything, and they told me to call Catholic Charities, and it just happened when I got through. Joanne answered the phone, and she goes, "You know, you got me just at the right time. We're actually doing interviews right now. You want to come in?" And she gave me the whole rundown of everything and how the program works and everything. She goes, "Is this something you can do?" And I looked at her and says, "You're offering me a roof over my head, something more than I've got right now, and I'm willing to do anything to keep that roof over my head."
Catholic Charities of Chicago is there to provide a helping hand to the homeless. Find out how to help us help the most needy. Visit CatholicCharities.net.
Real men answer the call to the priesthood. Is God calling you?
You know, I'm honored to be a priest for the Archdiocese of Chicago. I think it's great.
There's a desire to want to give back and to help and to serve those who are especially in need.
I think there's a wonderful opportunity for us to bring good news to a world that's very much in need.
When I experience through my ministry someone being brought closer to the Lord, it's an exciting, thrilling moment.
If you feel God's call to a priestly vocation, contact us at 312-751-8298 or visit our website at chicagopriest.com. John Paul II once said, "Do not be afraid. Open your heart to Christ. The deepest joy there is in life is the joy that comes from God. Jesus is the hope of the world. The people are calling. The world is calling. God is calling. Answer the call to the priesthood."
Welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Wayne Majors and Father Greg Sackowitz with you on Halloween. See, your costume is throwing me off. I'm all tongue-tied.
I took the wig off 10 minutes ago.
Talking about interreligious relations and dialogue on the 25th anniversary of Pope John Paul II's prayer in Assisi, and a tradition that was continued by Pope Benedict just last week in Assisi. Sister Joan McGuire is with us. She is the Director of Ecumenical and Interreligious Affairs for the Archdiocese of Chicago here. Asayo Haribo, who is the President of the Buddhist Council of the Midwest and also lay minister in the American Buddhist tradition. And joining us now on the phone is His Grace Bishop Demetrios, who is the Chancellor of the Greek Orthodox Metropolis of Chicago. Bishop Demetrios, good morning, and thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Thank you.
Good morning, Bishop.
Talk to us about the role of the Greek Orthodox Church in this Assisi Day of Prayer last week.
I know that His All Holiness, Ecumenical Patriarch Bartholomew, attended, and it was warmly received. He and His Holiness Pope Benedict share a very special relationship dating back prior to the Pope's election as Pope of Rome when he was Cardinal, and even prior to that, I think they studied together, as a matter of fact, in Rome. But because of those personal relationships, I think it adds even much more of a warmer dynamic to the call for prayer for peace, the call to prayer for living together harmoniously, as I often say, to move beyond coexistence. I think that we oftentimes in our world look to coexistence as the pinnacle, and we should look beyond coexistence, really, and beyond tolerance to see how we can live together harmoniously and in peace with mutual respect and love.
And you really bring up a good point, because interreligious dialogue, even within metropolitan areas like Chicago or other large archdioceses and dioceses throughout the world, is one thing, but when the world leaders come together and you see them dialogue and praying together, that really adds a dimension that energizes the locals, if you will, right?
I think it energizes the locals and also gives the people of those particular faith communities a sense of pride and hope that their faith leader is respected by other faith leaders. Sometimes when one is the minority, we experience a little different dynamic when faced with other religious leaders. But when we come together as sisters and brothers in the human family, and we're each allowed to pray or not in our own faith tradition and authentically, I think that says a lot for mutual respect, and it says a lot not only to the broader community and the people who are not members of our particular faith community, but most especially to the people who are members of our particular faith community, when you see your own religious leader participating in such a wonderful and magnificent event.
Sister Joan, jump in.
Good morning, Bishop Demetrius.
Good morning,
so happy
sister.
That you could be with us. This October 28th CC event had a few different issues, I thought, going a little broader than just the conflict between the war and war. It looked into some of the crises in the social and cultural and economic and also environmental. And I think with the leadership regarding the environmental, I think the Ecumenical Patriarch is particularly forceful in that area.
Oh, he has been. And
say something about that, Bishop.
He's called together leaders throughout the world, not only religious leaders, but scientists and others who have a particular interest in the environment. And it's something we must take care of. It's sacred. And His All Holiness has called the leadership of the world together in different parts of the world to discuss those dynamics affecting the environment. I know that they had a conference on the Mississippi not too long ago, the Amazon. He's been to all these places, Antarctica. Wonderful documentaries and bringing together people to discuss the fate of our world and the environment and being good stewards of this glorious creation.
Asayo, jump in here. Talk about a little bit about the Buddhist tradition and how this your tradition has resonated with some of the items that we're talking about now.
Well, talking ecologically, there is so much decimation of our land resources. You know, the Buddhist monks in Thailand have ordained trees, the forests, and so that once there's ordination, they won't be destroying the forest. And we've had interreligious dialogue with the Native Americans and the indigenous groups who caution us to take care of our land. And they're the first ones that have been able to tell us that we've got to respect the land and take care of it because all this destruction is poisoning the land and taking away our ecosystem. We have had peace prayers from different religious traditions, especially the indigenous traditions. We've had the Shinto priest come. We've had Native Americans come. We've had the Buddhist monks come and all try to give blessings and emphasize the need to take care of ourselves, see the peace that we have within, and be able to share that.
What I find is very interesting is that we listened here this morning with the Catholic tradition, Buddhist tradition, Greek Orthodox tradition, and I've always been big into the environment. I've been bird watching since I was 10 years old. And a great story that comes to mind about 5-6 years ago on this program, we had a lady on who was big into the environment. And she said, you know, back in the old days of the coal mines, as well as today, you always had the canaries in the coal mine to warn the miners about gas and poison and then get out of there. And the fact that I've been a big bird watcher, I've noticed in the last 30, 40 years, fewer and fewer warblers, vireos, thrushes, orioles, whatever the family might be, it's because of the changes in the environment, not only the climate, but also forests going down, deforestation and habitat being destroyed. And she said, when you see fewer birds, with the warblers and thrushes and sparrows especially, they are the canaries in the coal mine, and we're not listening. And we're not listening. So it's fascinating how our traditions all say we need to be better stewards of God's creation. We're going to go to break here on Catholic Community Faith and Relevant Radio 950. I'm Father Greg Sackwitz, along with co-host Wayne Magyars, and our guests are Sister Joan McGuire, His Grace Bishop Demetrios, and Asayo Haribo. 312-255-8408. Jump in on the conversation and do not touch that dial.
You are invited to an evening of remembrance and prayer on All Saints Day for all victims of childhood sexual abuse and their families. A Mass of Remembrance will be held on Tuesday, November 1st at 6 p.m. at Holy Family Church, 1080 West Roosevelt Road in Chicago. The Mass will be followed by a candlelight procession and vigil service in the Healing Garden next to Holy Family Church. For more information, contact the Archdiocese of Chicago's Office of Assistance Ministry at 312-534-8256. That's 312-534-8256.
The Catholic New World has been your faith resource for well over a century. Archbishop Patrick Feehan recognized the need for a strong Catholic voice in 1892 and launched Chicago's first Catholic newspaper. Bishop Feehan named our Catholic newspaper using a theme from the Columbian Exposition, the New World that gave people hope for a brighter future. Today, the Catholic New World is better than ever. It's a rich and diverse resource for Chicagoland Catholics with stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Cardinal Francis George and our team of columnists offer compelling insights on spirituality, catechesis, and evangelization. Visit our website at catholicnewworld.com. View our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and while you're there, subscribe to the Catholic New World or call 312-534-7777. Our look has changed, but we are still your faith resource. Subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
Welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith on a Monday morning in Chicago, 921, talking about interreligious relations and dialogue on the 25th anniversary of Pope John Paul II's Assisi Prayer in 1987 is when it began. Sister Joan McGuire is with us here in the studio. His Grace Bishop Dimitrios of the Greek Orthodox Metropolis of Chicago is on the phone, and so is Asayo Horobo, who is the president of the Buddhist Council of the Midwest. And Bishop Dimitrios, let me ask you this question, because we were talking earlier in the program on the power of religious leaders, world leaders, coming together in prayer, and how that really resonates in the local church. But how? What about the young people? Because obviously, we've talked a lot, especially over the last couple of decades, and John Paul II's pontificate certainly was an unusual, extraordinary example of reaching out and visiting and seeing the world and beginning this dialogue. But if it doesn't continue and take root with our young people, it's not going to have a vibrant future. How are we doing in engaging the young in this dialogue?
I think the young have a lot to teach us. They come together in various settings in this diverse country of ours and world of ours in new and unique ways. With the advent of technology and internet and mobile phones and chatting and email and IMing and all that technology that allows people to communicate on a different level, I think they're far more advanced at teaching us on how to view our differences, celebrate our differences, and work beyond our differences.
But the key, Bishop, is are we listening to the young people?
I think we are. Okay. I think we are, because if we weren't, I don't think our leadership would be coming together the way it has been. With innovative leaders like Pope Benedict and His All Holiness Patriarch Bartholomew, to see those two great spiritual leaders come together in respect and mutual love and mutual respect and work together to overcome our differences, I think we are listening. And we see that our young people are so proud of our religious leaders when they gather. I see the youth in the Roman Catholic Church gathering and greeting.
Yeah, that part is very true.
Beautifully, beautifully. And recently our metropolis had our clergy laity assembly, which we have every year. This year it was in Champaign. And for the first time ever in the Orthodox world, His All Holiness Patriarch Bartholomew joined us by Skype. 450 people, he greeted us, and we greeted him, and so I think we were able to learn from our younger people.
Asayo, how would you answer that question?
Well, I know that the Buddhist community, His Holiness, the Dalai Lama, is coming back to Chicago on April 26th, and he is calling the youth, 11th and 12th graders, to write an essay on nonviolence. And he will be presenting awards to the winner of the essay at this time. So he was just here this year, and this time he is focusing on the youth to come, present there, and write essays on nonviolence. And the event will take place at Loyola University, the Northside campus, where we will have 600 youth come, and they will participate in the essay writing contest.
That is marvelous. Sister Joan, from a Catholic perspective, what about our young people?
Well, one thing I'm thinking of is many of our Catholic high schools have children from other Christian communities, but and especially from the Muslim community, particularly the all-girls schools. I know of a high school where the Catholic children were very impressed with the fasting of the Muslims. So I think as young people meet each other and see the other is very devoted to his or her own religion, it really sends them back to look more deeply into theirs. So I think that it really is important to bring these groups together, the ones that are really committed to their own faith. That's the people we want around the ecumenical tables.
And that's a great point, because I don't know if our guest this morning would agree, but if you spin the clock back 40 or 50 years, there seemed to have been a culture among many of the religions where dialoguing with other religions was in some way going to weaken or jeopardize or have you in a position of questioning your own faith traditions, when in fact the opposite is true, and respecting and getting to know other faith traditions really makes you reflect more on your own tradition and in many cases deepens that. Would you agree, Bishop Demetrius?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely agree. I know that there was a fear in the past. I think that now with the different dynamics we live with today with regard to terrorism and such, there was some kind of a fear arisen of others and a xenophobia, if you will. But I think once we come to understand each other and look into one another's eyes, as the Patriarch Athenagoras of Blessed Memory said, we come to understand each other better, and we understand our own traditions much better, much better.
Go ahead. Sayong, you got the microphone. Go ahead.
Well, right now I think that with the age of technology and everybody is communicating with Twitter and what else, and we wouldn't have found out or learned about all the issues that have occurred around the world if people were not able to use their cell phones and using technology to show what is actually happening in their country. And it helps us to understand that issues of starvation, of poverty and pain and violence touch everybody. And we as religious leaders have a responsibility to be able to communicate the principles, practices, and teachings of each one of our traditions.
There's no question, Asayo, that everything you're talking about, these are universal themes that cut across all religious traditions.
That's right.
In the last minute, Sister Joan, you have a few things you want to mention, like an event coming up on November 16th?
Right. The event for November 16th is the Interreligious Thanksgiving Service that's held each year at the United Methodist Chicago Temple in the Loop, Washington and Clark Street. And it's from 12 to 1, and so anyone working in the Loop can get over. And you'll see there a model of this Assisi prayer, in which the different traditions here in Chicago, 12, 14, something like that, will give a prayer out of their tradition. So the Catholics, we've originally often take something out of our Mass.
So that would be Wednesday, November 16th, noon until 1 p.m., and again where?
The United Methodist Chicago Temple. Loop right across from the...
Okay, we need to bring this half hour to a close. And, well, one last comment. Go ahead, Sister Joan. You want to say something else there?
No, that's fine.
Oh, okay.
That's fine. Close.
Okay, close. All right.
We'll get back and talk more soon.
You'll be back again.
We should see each other often. So.
Want to thank in a very special way our guest this first half hour, Sister Joan McGuire, the Director of Ecumenical and Interreligious Affairs for the Archdiocese of Chicago, His Grace Bishop Demetrios of Makisos, Chancellor, Greek Orthodox Metropolis of Chicago, and Asayo Haribo, President, Buddhist Council of the Midwest, and Lay Minister in the American Buddhist Tradition. Thank you all for being here on Catholic Community Faith and Relevant Radio 950. I'm Father Greg Sackwitz, along with Wayne Majars. Our time is 9:29. 312-255-8408. Stay with us. We'll be back right after this break.
Thank you so much.
You were great. No, what down for?
Most interment arrangements at the 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries are made through a pre-need plan. Your thoughtful planning today is economically prudent and contributes to peace of mind for you and your loved ones. Catholic Cemeteries counselors are available at your convenience. For more information, call 708-449-6100. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
If you haven't read the Catholic New World lately, you're in for quite a surprise. It's bigger, bolder, and better than ever before.
The Catholic New World is a rich and diverse resource for Catholics throughout the Archdiocese of Chicago. It carries stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Our most read column is by Cardinal Francis George, our shepherd, teacher, and leader.
Our columnists provide support in spirituality and evangelization, and you'll want to browse the Around the Archdiocese page, your gateway to Catholic activities.
No matter how busy you are, stay connected to your church by visiting CatholicNewWorld.com and sign up to follow us on Twitter.
Go to CatholicNewWorld.com to view our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and to subscribe. Or call 312-534-7777.
Subscribe now, and a portion of your fee will go to the Archdiocesan school of your choice. It's your faith resource. Subscribe now to the Catholic New World. You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 a.m. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
And welcome back to Catholic Community Faith on Relevant Radio 950 AM. The time is 9:32 on this Monday morning in Chicago, Halloween, October 31st. Trick or treat day, and tomorrow All Saints Day, and Wednesday All Souls Day. Our phone number 312-255-8408, and do call in because a major fundraising dinner for the cause of sainthood for Father Augustus Tolton is scheduled for Friday evening, November 11th at the Hyatt Regency McCormick Place. And let's find out how the sainthood process is evolving with two in-studio guests. We have Andrew Like, the director of the Office for Black Catholics in the Archdiocese of Chicago, and Dr. Vanessa White, assistant professor of spirituality and director of the Augustus Tolton Pastoral Ministry at the Catholic Theological Union. Andrew and Dr. Vanessa White, welcome to Catholic Community of Faith.
Good morning.
Morning.
Good to be here.
Glad to have both of you here. Andrew, it's been a while since you've been on the radio program.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we got the regular Tuesday thing that I'm part of, but it's been a while since I've been
here. In fact, the last time you were a guest on Catholic Community of Faith is when Tom Sheridan would be the host.
Yeah, that's right.
And I was co-hosting.
Yeah, I couldn't get a word in edgewise. I remember.
Wow. It's much easier now.
It's much easier now. Okay.
There's not nearly the host used to totally take over the show before.
Sheridan isn't listening. He's a great guy. He's now living in Florida, retired. So tell us about the whole event and beside that, the whole cause for sainthood for Father Tolton.
Well, that's been underway. Cardinal George launched this last year, and we're very excited about this key historical figure in the Black Catholic community, not just in Chicago but in the United States. But Father Augustus Tolton was the first acknowledged Black Catholic priest to serve in the United States. His is a very heroic story of how his family escaped slavery and over in Missouri and crossed the Mississippi River and came into Illinois and found a home, settled in Quincy, and how he was assisted by those in the community, particularly the Franciscans, in his education and in his nurturing his vocation.
Now, the Tolton family escaped slavery in about what year, Andrew?
What year was that? That was...
I would say this was probably in the 1870s. It was been he was born in 1854.
And he was 8 years old.
He was
So this was during the Civil War.
This was during the Civil War. And his mother was owned by one Catholic family. His father was owned by another Catholic family. Martha Tolton and Peter Paul Tolton. And so they were owned by two Catholic families in neighboring farms. And they were allowed to marry. And when they had three children, Father Tolton, Augustus Tolton, was the middle child. And he was baptized. He was actually baptized at St. Peter's Catholic Church in Brush Creek, Missouri. And in fact, that church, the area, that church is still there. And you can go to that area and see the church. You can see the grave sites of the Elliott family. That was the family that owned Martha Tolton and Augustus Tolton. And you will also see the slave grave sites for those who were enslaved. So what happened?
That is fascinating.
It's very fascinating. And so Catholic families did baptize their slaves. And they were allowed to marry. The father, Peter Paul Tolton, escaped from slavery, joined the Union Army, and he actually became ill and died and never returned. And so after he escaped, Martha and the children never saw him again. And so when...
But he died in the Civil War.
Yes. He died in the Civil War.
Huh.
And so they, at the time of his death... Martha Tolton also had a third child, Anne, who was an infant. And at this point, she felt the need to escape, because what would have happened is that those children would have been in slavery, worked in slavery. They could have been separated because there was no guarantee that even the family would stay together. And so she traveled over 25 miles at night, primarily with three young children.
On foot.
And this,
on foot.
I was going to say, this was not by car.
Not by car, by foot, and escaped through many of those fields at night.
Now, if she had been caught with the children, that was a very severe punishment for
It was a very severe punishment. We don't know what could have happened. The family could have been separated. She could have been beaten. She could have even been killed. Because, in fact, when they arrived at Hannibal, Missouri, which where the Mississippi...
crosses over.
They, in fact, the Confederate soldiers saw them and found them. And actually, when they got into a boat and traveled across the Mississippi with those three children, Confederate soldiers, the story goes that Confederate soldiers were shooting at them.
Mm. Wow.
You know, the other amazing part of Father Tolton's story is that period in his life when he decided to go to the seminary and then on his road toward ordination. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, well, there wasn't a seminary in the United States that would accept him because he was black. Even the Franciscans, who were very helpful, they wouldn't receive him in the seminary.
So in those days there was not one seminary in the U.S., and we're talking basically
not one.
You know, pretty much east of the Mississippi, because the West was still very much undeveloped.
Exactly.
But no one would accept him.
Exactly. So he had to go to Rome, and there he studied, and he was ordained there. But he went there with the expectation that he would be sent to Africa to serve in the missions. But it was the decision that he would return right back to Quincy.
The night before his ordination, in fact.
Mm-hmm.
The night before his ordination, he thought he was going to be a missionary to Africa. And the night before his ordination, the ordaining bishop said to him, "Let us see how enlightened the United States is. America states it's an enlightened nation. Let us see how enlightened. We are sending you back to be the first black priest in the United States."
And the story just continues. So there, we'll pick it up when we come back. Andrew Leick, the director of the Office for Black Catholics at the Archdiocese, and Dr. Vanessa White, assistant professor of spirituality and director of the Augustus Tolton Pastoral Ministry at CTU, are our guests. It's 9:39 in the morning. We'll be right back.
This year, on November 26th and 27th, the Catholic Church all over the United States will begin celebrating the Mass using the English translation of the third edition of the Roman Missal. In much of the prayers, responses, and acclamations, this English translation will no doubt sound a bit different from what we're currently used to in the Mass. The question is, are you ready for these new words? The Office for Divine Worship invites you to a two-hour session of information and reflection, Praying the New Missal Texts, a workshop for all Catholics. There are several sessions scheduled through early November. For dates, times, and locations of the remaining workshops, go to www.odw.org or call 312-534-5153. Don't miss this opportunity for exploring the English translation of the third edition of the Roman Missal. Go to www.odw.org or call 312-534-5153.
Choosing an elementary school for your child is one of the biggest decisions you will ever make to shape your child's future. So why pick a Catholic school?
I want my kids to learn more than the three R's. They need a faith-based education so they make good decisions.
I want my son and daughter to go to college. At Catholic schools, attendance and graduation rates are nearly 100%. And when these kids graduate, they go to college.
My teacher is so cool. She knows who I am. She helps me when I have trouble figuring things out.
My son isn't a number. The student-teacher ratio is 18 to 1, and Catholic school teachers are really dedicated.
I want my daughter to feel welcome, to be safe.
The test scores are well above the national average. Look out, college. Here they come.
Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Schools to learn more about the great benefits of a Catholic education. Invest in your child's future. Make your child a winner for life.
Welcome back to Catholic Community Faith and Relevant Radio, 9:50 a.m. I'm Father Greg Sackwitz, along with Wayne Majar as our co-host. Time is 9:42 on this Halloween day, All Hallows Eve. And welcome in a special way our guest, Andrew Leick and Dr. Vanessa White. We talked about in the first segment, Vanessa and Andrew, mother escaping with the three children, running away from slavery, ended up in Hannibal and then crossing the border there. Other side. But now Augustus wants to be a priest, can't find a seminary in the United States, goes off to Rome. The night before ordination is told you are going back to, quote, the enlightened country, the USA and the United States. And so what did he do when he came back to Quincy?
Well, he got to work. He was sent to a parish. Quite honestly, I mean, he was quite a good preacher. Mm-hmm. He made a mark. He made a big noise down there in Quincy, and it was such a noise that some of his fellow priests were concerned that he was drawing parishioners from their parishes to his. So he wasn't well received among the local presbytery, if you will.
In fact, one of the priests began writing to the bishop about him and saying that he was allowing the white parishioners to come to his church. And Father Tolton was known to have said that his thought was that the Catholic Church, the doors of the Catholic Church were meant to be open, not closed. But his life in Quincy became harder and harder because of the racism that was in effect among the priests. That many of the Catholic parishioners, the laymen, wanted him there and, in fact, were going to his church because he was known as a great preacher as well as a very pastoral priest. Now, one of the things that happened is that Archbishop Fian from Chicago heard about Father Augustus Tolton, and he invited Father Tolton to come to Chicago to be the first pastor of the emerging Black Catholic community in Chicago.
And it was a pair St. Mary's in the basement.
Yeah.
The Black Catholic.
Are we talking about these St. Mary's as would be over presently at Michigan Avenue?
Old St. Mary's.
The old St. Mary's, mm-hmm. Sure. Mm-hmm.
That they were meeting in the basement of St. Mary's. And so this was that fledgling mm-hmm. Black Catholic community that mm-hmm. he came to serve. And in very short order, he established a pair of St. Monica's, mm-hmm. which was on 36th and Dearborn.
And this would have been about what year, Andrew?
1890 was okay. when he yeah. came to.
And he was born
Chicago.
In 1854, so we're talking he's 35 years old,
yeah. mm-hmm.
36 years old at this time. Mm-hmm. He's a young man, a young priest.
Still yeah. a very young man. Yeah. He was very active in the Chicago area, and he was known to be a very pastoral priest in Chicago. There are stories also that how, in the sense of how engaging he was and how pastoral he was also to the youth. There's one story that I heard of him during the winter time that the children would hold onto his cassock and he would pull them in the snow and they'd become like a sled. And so mm-hmm. he was known to tirelessly pastor in that area to walk those streets.
Now, when he hit Chicago at the invitation of Archbishop Fian, did he receive the same type of welcome by the priest in Chicago like he was receiving down in the Quincy area where there was maybe toward jealousy toward him? That he was being accused of taking parishioners from their church, coming over to his church. Was the same thing met in Chicago, or is that part unknown?
It really is unknown. We don't hear of those stories. And so I would assume in some ways that there may have been a more welcoming sense. But also the fact of knowing how Chicago...
It's a larger area.
It's a larger yeah. area, and it's a very ethnic, you know, ethnic neighborhoods
very much
in
a
Chicago.
City of neighborhoods. So
you have to remember when, in that time, we're talking about 1890, just as you mentioned, Vanessa, a huge influx of the Irish into Chicago,
yeah.
the German community, a mm-hmm. big Polish community at Holy mm-hmm. Trinity,
yes.
St. Stanislaus
mm-hmm.
Kostka, the Italian community, each had their own churches, so it was less of this chance of, quote, crossing boundaries.
Right.
Because then you'd have then the church form St. Monica for a growing Black population.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And
right
so that,
in the
that's
heart
in Chicago.
Of, yeah, that's right in the heart of what is known now as Bronzeville, which was the mm-hmm. Black ghetto mm-hmm. of that time. And so, yeah, mm-hmm. he would have definitely had a Black community that he was serving.
The road to canonization is multidimensional. It's, mm-hmm. in some cases, quite lengthy. Tell us about how the cause began and where we are right now in the timeline for canonization.
Well, in 2010, in February around that time, Cardinal George, this was the year of the priest, and Cardinal George was looking for a priest to highlight, to raise up, who led a holy life. And he realized that right in our own neighborhood, in our own backyard, was such a priest, Father Augustus Tolton. The other aspect of Father Augustus Tolton's life was that both Father Augustus Tolton and His Eminence both attended the same seminary in Rome. And so that
now
was,
that I did not know.
Yes, they both attended the same seminary in Rome, and so he had that sense of that relationship with Father Augustus Tolton. And so over the course of the next year, the petition was sent to Rome to possibly open the cause for sainthood for Father Augustus Tolton, and Bishop Joseph Perry was named the postulator to help promote that cause.
And he's been on this program for just that situation. We're going to go to a break here on Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio 950. The time is 9:48 on this Halloween day. Our guests in studio, we have Dr. Vanessa White and Andrew Like, and co-host Wayne Madjars, 312-255-8408. Stay with us. We'll be back right after a break, and do not touch that dial.
You're invited to watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Here's host Graziano Marcheschi.
During the next half hour, we'll take you to World Youth Day in Madrid, where 1.5 million young adult Catholics from around the globe gathered in prayer and celebration with the Holy Father. We'll attend a multi-faith 9/11 memorial service 10 years after that fateful day. And we'll visit with the man who heads our vocations office and find out what he's doing to foster vocations within the Archdiocese.
For several interesting stories about the Archdiocese, please watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Radio TV for the time and cable channel in your area. That's www.archchicago.org. The Church, the Cardinal, and You, compelling television about your Archdiocese.
Game with the Catholic Charities Junior Board for a good cause. Saturday, November 12th is the Junior Board's signature fundraiser, and we hope you'll join us. The 5th annual Charities Royale Casino Night and Silent Auction will take place at the beautiful St. Ignatius College Prep. We have an A-list lineup with live music by Underwater People, delicious food from Cafe Bianda, 3 open bars, blackjack, craps, roulette, an incredible lineup of silent auction and raffle items, including 2 trips to the Bahamas, and much more. Tickets are only $80 and are on sale now at CatholicCharities.net/JRBoard. This black tie optional event is open to anyone over the age of 21. More than half of your ticket price will go directly to the Catholic Charities Emergency Assistance Programs, providing food, clothing, shelter, and other crucial emergency services to the poorest of the poor in Cook and Lake Counties. Game with us for a good cause. For details, call Lisa at 312-655-7932 or visit CatholicCharities.net/JRBoard.
Welcome back. Andrew Leick is with us, and Dr. Vanessa White, who's both of whom are not only well-versed and knowledgeable, but champions for quarterbacks, if you will, for the cause for sainthood for Father Augustus Tolton, which is underway.
A sports image. I'm impressed.
A sports image. I can weave those in just
without even thinking.
Wayne.
I'm just good
trying
going.
Trying to get close to my host's mentor.
Love of sports.
Before we went to a break, we started to talk about the cause and the fact that it is a lengthy process. Where are we now, and where do we hope to be going forward?
Well, on February 24th, 2011, this past year, the cause was officially opened.
And what does that mean?
What that means is that you have to have a historical commission, a theological commission, a Tolton Guild, apostolator that is officially named by the Vatican, the Congregation for the Cause for Saints. And so within the context of midday prayer, we had that happen here in Chicago. And so certain documents are signed, then are sent back to the Vatican saying that his cause is officially opened. Now what happens is that over the course of the next years, these historical commission, the theological commission, and the guild will promote his cause. The historical commission will do the historical research, the theological...
Vanessa, what are they looking for historically?
Well, one, they're looking for the fact that he was actually alive. They're actually looking for the fact of what was the context of his life that he lived in, where his sanctity would have been lived out. So they have to put that particular saint in a particular context. Mm-hmm. And so the historical commission will, various historians will be doing that research. Then the theological commission, their responsibility is to see that as he lived his life and what he said, there was no theological error. And so, and that he lived a holy life.
Have they found much of his writings? I would think not.
They found 12 different documents, primarily the writings that he had between him and Catherine Drexel, Mother Catherine Drexel, who's the foundress, St. Catherine Drexel, the foundress of the Blessed Sacrament Sisters, and who also was the foundress of Xavier University in Louisiana. She was an heiress who had lots of money, and that she gave the money to causes for African Americans and for Native Americans. And so he wrote to her requesting money to help build St. Monica's.
And part of the road is also verification of miracles. When does that take place?
Well, right now, the postulator and those who are part of that team are interviewing people. There's possibilities already of several potential miracles, one locally.
Yeah.
And so they are being researched, and you have to have a medical team, and those persons who experienced the miracle, those who prayed for Father Tolton, to Father Tolton, asking for his intercession, those prayers have to show that those prayers led to a miracle taking place.
Now, this whole process is timely and costly.
Very costly.
Yes.
And so, Andrew, along those lines, tell us about November 11th, the fundraiser.
Yeah, this is going to be our first official fundraiser for the cause. Basically, to pay the bills. I mean, just the travel for the postulator and the officials from Rome to here. And in the future, we'll be exhuming his grave, in fact. It's quite a costly.
He is buried where?
In Quincy.
Okay.
Yeah, down in Quincy. That was his request.
Well, give us a few specifics about the banquet so people can maybe be part of it.
Sure. It's going to be November 11th, 11-11-11, at the Hyatt Regency McCormick Place, it's going to start.
Which is a week from Friday.
A week from Friday. You can go online to the Tolton Canonization.
ToltonCanonization.org.
Tolton Canonization. Canonization.org.
Right.
Can you hook it in through the website of the Archdiocese
sure
of Chicago?
Can. Yes, you can.
Okay,
yeah.
Which is www.archchicago.org.
Yes.
And people, there's still room, there's still places.
Definitely. You can actually purchase your tickets for the fundraiser, or you can make contributions. And this is the first of what will be several fundraisers down the road, because there are ongoing costs for the cause for canonization.
What's the next, we got just a minute left, what's the next major milestone in this process, Vanessa?
The next major milestone is that the Congregation for the Causes for Saints is looking to see that there is a devotion, that there is a spirituality that is coming out of this canonization process. So what is very important now is that the community, the Catholic community, begin as part of their prayer, pray to Father Tolton. And there is a Tolton prayer that you can get online. You also can contact the bishop's office. And to, as you're praying with the saints, as you're praying for, include Father Tolton. And then if there is any type of benefit that you receive, miracles or any spiritual, physical benefit, that you contact the bishop's office, because what we need is we need the community itself to be a part of this whole process.
It's
That's how done, saints
it's
are.
It's not done in isolation.
No,
before
it's
we
not
close,
done in
Andrew, he died at the age of 43. How and where?
He died in Chicago at Mercy Hospital. And it was.
But he was getting off the train.
Getting off the train, and he was heading back toward his residence. He collapsed.
Near where the Meyer Center.
Near where the Meyer Center yeah. is.
In
yeah.
Chicago here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was a hot July day.
Yes.
And
yes.
This would have been then at the age of 43.
Yeah.
And died at Mercy Hospital.
At Mercy Hospital, yeah.
Well, I want
yeah.
to thank in a very special way our guest this morning, Andrew Like, the director of the Office for Black Catholics in the Archdiocese of Chicago, and Dr. Vanessa White, assistant professor of spirituality and the director of the Augustus Tolton Pastoral Ministry at the Catholic Theological Union. I mean, it's clearly evident to both of us, you are so passionate in this area. He was a great, great priest, and may this whole
and the website continue. And the website has an absolutely terrific historical timeline. So
give us the website again, Wayne.
It's www.toltoncanonization.org. TOLTON canonization, one N, an O between two N's. Not two N's, not C-A-N-N-O-N, C-A-N-O-N.
Now that all our listeners are totally confused, we're going to end on that note. I want to thank special way our co-host, Wayne Majars, and great work to our producer, Jim Dish, and great work of the engineer, Michael May. To our listeners, a very blessed All Hallows Eve and a blessed All Saints Day and All Souls Day. God bless. Wonderful week.
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day and God bless you.